Mother, tell it to Jesus alone. Amen. Good singing today. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to read the main text for y'all. You want me to pray first? Okay. All right. Well, if you'll just pray with me for a minute. Lord God, Father, thank you so much for this day and the ability to come here and the opportunity to come here and worship you, Lord, and to hear your message. Please humble us, open up our hearts, and help us to receive your word and add it to our lives, Lord God, so that we can follow you better. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you will, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 25. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what I enjoy. We used to do this all the time. I had someone read the scripture, and we're going to start doing that again. And it works out really good. But the title of this morning's message is Being Called by God. Being Called by God. And as we get into this, you're going to see what I mean a little bit. But, you know, many times we go through life wondering what I should or should not do as far as what God wants. You know, am I doing God's will, or am I just doing things I want the right or wrong way? You know, I want to show you five things this morning that I believe that we are called by God to do. And if you listen, if you want to take notes on this, it's something you may need later on. You never know. I think if a person listens intently this morning, you're going to get something out of this morning's message that you can probably use in your life down the road. But the first thing is this: we are called out of darkness. Keep your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2. That's where we're going to be this morning. But the first thing we are is we're called out of darkness. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says this: But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, if we look at what Peter is saying here, we are a what? We are a chosen generation. We are a chosen generation. You know, as I was looking at that, I got to thinking, you know, there are people who do not believe this. However, if you look at the foreknowledge of God, you will understand that we were chosen before the foundation of the world. There's not one of us sitting in this room today who is saved, who's born again, who knows that they're blood washed, believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that was not known before the foundation of the world that you were going to be saved. After all, God has all knowledge, isn't he? He's omniscient. He knows all things. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow from today. He knows what's going to happen the day after that. He knows everything that's going to happen from now all the way through eternity. You and I, with our little finite pea-head brain, we don't know a whole lot, you know, compared to what God knows. But in God's foreknowledge, he knew that on a certain day, at a certain time, that you were going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He knew that. So he had in his foreknowledge, knowing that you were going to receive or you were going to reject him as Lord and Savior. Not only that, but we're also a royal priesthood. You know, once we're saved, we become priests in God's eyes. After all, we are of the order of who? Of what priest? Melchizedek. You remember when Melchizedek was on the earth? Remember what Abraham did? Abraham went to war, and he came back, and he gave Melchizedek what? A tithe of everything that he had. 10% of everything that he had. That's where tithing all started. It was way before the law, way before Moses. That's where it all started. Listen, if you go in, you'll see that Jesus is of the line of Melchizedek. Now, if you think about that for a minute, if we're saved, we become priests, or we become part of the family of Melchizedek. We're actually in Aaron's family. We become Abraham's seed, so to speak. And so we need to realize is that in God's eyes, we become royal priests, or we become priesthood. Now, not only that, but we are a holy nation. And it's not talking about the United States right now, believe me. The United States is not a holy nation, believe me, by any way, shape, or form. But what it's talking about is that we are adopted into the nation of who? Israel. Who's Israel? Israel is of Abraham. Abraham is of Israel. So what we need to realize is that we're adopted into the nation that of God. We, you know, it's hard for me to understand how we can be adopted into something that we're not part of. But we are adopted into the family of Abraham. Not only that, but we're also a peculiar people. You know, just looking around in this audience today, I can tell there's an awful lot of peculiar people in here. You know, look at Roger. Anyway, but, you know, I just, you know, I don't know why I said that. Why is it I always come up with stuff like that? Isn't that right, Pudgy? Oh, no, that's right. You're not Pudgy yet. I'm sorry. By the way, just for those of you who don't know, Victor and Kathy are expecting again. Kathy's expecting. Victor's not. But anyway, but what we need to realize is that we're a peculiar people. People call me peculiar all the time. Anyway, but we are to be different after we're saved. You know, once we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are to be a different person. You know, there's a song that we sing once in a while in Sunday school. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore, because there's a great change since I've been born again. We need to realize that there should be a change in our life once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There should be a change that people can see. You know, I was talking to somebody one day, and he says, boy, he says, I didn't know becoming a Christian was going to be this different. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, he says, you know, he says, I got saved. And he says, I don't want to go to the bars anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do that. And my friends are looking at me and go, what's the matter with you? Do you become holy? You know, people see a difference in us. And that's what they should. They should see that we're peculiar people. They should see that we're different. We live differently. We talk differently. We dress differently. We go to different places. You know, we are not to be out and out different, because we all live in the world, right? You know, don't get me wrong when I say this, but one of the things that really kind of bothers me sometimes is you walk into Walmart and you'll see somebody walking around Walmart with a cross on about this big and about this wide. You know, they're walking like this here. You know, they can hardly keep their head up. You know, what does it show? I don't know. You know, I mean, are they suffering for Christ by carrying that? Or I have no idea. You know, and, you know, we're to be a peculiar people, but listen, we got to live in the world too. You know, we got to live not as the world, but we got to live in the world. We have to make sure that the things that we do are right before God. But, you know, before we are saved, we walk in what? Look, what? Darkness. We walk in darkness, don't we? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You know, because we know not the Lord, because we are not saved, because we're not born again, we walk in darkness. Darkness is what? Sin. Light is righteousness. Darkness is sin. Now, how many of you ever watched Star Wars? Okay. You know, when I watch Star Wars, I always look at Darth Vader and I think, you know what? He's a sinner! Because he's dark. You know? And then I look at the stormtroopers and they're white. They're the good guys, right? But, you know, that's a way we got to think sometimes, is that, do you ever see that cartoon with the little angel over here and the little devil over here, and the little devil's talking in this here and the little angel's talking in this here? Well, did you ever notice that little angel, that little devil? He's dark. He's got dark clothes on, and the angel's got white clothes on. I mean, even all the way back when I was a kid, that's the way they looked at sin. Sin was darkness. Righteousness was light. You know, we are not to walk in darkness. You know, my wife, once in a while, she'll change the house around a little bit. A lot. Anyway, I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll go out to the kitchen. And all of a sudden, I'll trip over a footstool or something like that. Why? Because it's dark. You know, I didn't see it. You know, what we need to realize, we need light in order to see where we're going. You know, we don't want to live in darkness. We want to live in light. After all, the Bible says that the people do evil deeds where? In darkness, because they don't like the light. You know, think about this for a minute. When are people rioting and looting?
At night.
Why? Because it's wrong, you bet. What they're doing is wrong, so they do it under the cloak of darkness, hoping that nobody will recognize who they are. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that why most crimes are done after sundown? You know, when I was a police officer, I mean, I worked nights. I did. I love working nights because that's where I got the most action. You know, that's when most of the crimes were committed, was at night. And so, you know, you would take and you would almost inevitably know that you're going to get 2, 3, 4, 5 calls a night about breaking and entry or thefts or something going on. Why? Because people do their dirty, dastardly deeds at night. Now, so here we see that we walk in darkness. Now, before that we're saved, we walk in darkness. But if we look at it this way, sin is darkness, and it does not like light because the Lord is light. You know, we've been called out of darkness into the light only the Lord can give. We no longer have to go about stumbling and falling into sin. Why? Because we have the light. I forgot my flashlight, but I have a flashlight in my office I was going to bring. Anyway, but If you've been called out of darkness, in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, Jesus is talking there, and he's saying, I want you to realize that you need to turn people from the dark to the light. You need to turn them from Satan to me so that they can have eternal life. You know, all we need to do is we need to have this light. And the only way we can get the light is to what? Get saved. You know, the only way we can have light is to realize that we're a sinner, realize there's a penalty for our sin, realize that we need to ask for forgiveness. Then we can be in the light. Not only that, but the second thing is this. Not only are we called out of the darkness, but we are called to follow his steps. We are called to follow his steps. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Notice that? He called us to follow his steps. Now, you may be saying, well, preacher, what do you mean by following Jesus' steps? How can I follow his steps after all? He's in heaven. How am I supposed to follow his steps, right? Well, you know what? He made an example for us. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You may be saying to yourself, well, listen, I cannot live a sinless life because I am human. After all, what does that verse say? That he lived a what? Without sin. Now, we're supposed to follow his steps. So we are supposed to what? Live sinless. How many of you in this room can live sinless? You notice I don't have my hand up either? Listen, we're human beings. You know, but what does it mean then to follow his steps? You know, we are to be Christ-like. We need to do as Christ did and try to live our lives as close to what he did as we can. You know, none of us, there's not one of us in here that can be sinless. After all, Chuck, you sin every day, don't you? Every morning before you get out of bed, you sin. You just open your eyes. No, just kidding. Have you ever been in his... No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say, have you ever been in his house, see what he has on his walls? No. Anyway, what we need to realize is, hey, we all sin. What does the Bible say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? All of us are sinners. So then how can we live a sinless life? We can't. But we can live Christ-like. We can do everything in our power to live as Christ lived. Let me ask you something. Do you have to sin? Do you have to sin? No, you don't. You know, do you have to take a cigarette and put it in your mouth and light it? No, you don't. It's your choice. You know, do you have to say bad words? No. But it happens, doesn't it? Well, listen, what we need to realize is this. We need to be Christ-like. And we need to realize that the things we do them ourselves. Now, but what can we do to follow in Christ's footsteps? Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You know, one of the first things to be Christ-like after a person gets saved is you need to be what?
Baptized.
You need to go through the water of baptism. That's one of the first things that we have to do in order to be Christ-like. You know, did Jesus get baptized? Did he get baptized as a baby? No. He got baptized in the Jordan River by immersion, just like we do here. Now, what we need to realize, if you want to be Christ-like, you need to follow his steps in baptism. You need to be like Christ. You know, what about in our conversation? Let me ask you something. Did Jesus ever get angry? Yeah, he did. You bet he did. Does that mean we need to get angry once in a while? You know, I holler at Cindy all the time. We just. There are certain people you got to get angry at. But what we need to realize is this. Is, yeah, we're going to have our emotions. Did Jesus cry? You bet he did. After all, the shortest verse in the Bible is what? Jesus wept. You know, he cried over Jerusalem. You know, Jesus had emotions just like you and I have. And we need to understand our emotions are okay to have. But we have to keep them under control. You know, I just can't walk up to Victor and just smack him just for smacking him. You know, I just can't do that. You know? Now, Kathy, on the other hand, she can hit him all she wants. But what we need to realize is this, is we need to keep our emotions under control, but at the same time, we're going to have emotions, and we need to not sin. You know, we need to live our lives for Christ's honor and glory, as he is our example that we need to follow. When Jesus was here on earth, you know, he tried to lead as many as he possibly could to himself. You know, think about this for a minute. At one time, he had 5,000 men sitting on the hillside preaching to him. What was he preaching? He was preaching repentance. He was preaching that they needed to turn to him. He was preaching him as a Savior. Now, what are we supposed to do? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are we supposed to do? We are to take and do the same thing. Be Christ-like. Tell as many as you possibly can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Win as many as you can to him. That's what we're supposed to do. To be Christ-like. You know, we need to understand, we need to follow in his steps, we need to take and do the things that he did. He told everybody about himself. You know, we should strive to reach as many as we possibly can with the gospel of Christ before it's too late. The third thing is this, we are called to be holy. We are called to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, it says, "For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." You know, if we are called to be holy, what does it mean that we need to be? Do we all walk around with robes with big crosses on? Does that show that we're holy? Nope. That does not show we're holy at all. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says this, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Paul is telling us in that verse that we need to cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh. Now think about this for a minute. What's the filthiness of the flesh? The lust of the eyes? The lust of the flesh? The pride of life? Listen, we're to cleanse ourselves from all of that. You know, we don't have to have those three things over our head all the time and say, well, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I cannot not look at dirty websites. That's a choice you make. You make that choice. You know, all of us make choices to sin. You know, we don't have to make the choice to sin. You know, the Bible says that God makes a way of escape. Do you know that on a computer, if you get a pop-up on the computer that's not good, do you know if there's an on and off button on there you can push? Did you know that? Did you know if something comes on your computer and you don't like it, you can push the off button and it goes away? Did you know that? I think there's an awful lot of teenagers today that need to know where that off button is. Do you know that on the telephone, if something comes up, there's a little button here on the side. I'll get some. All you gotta do is push it and it goes away. See that? It goes away. Listen, when things come into our lives, push the delete button. It'll go away. God made a way of escape so that we don't have to have the things of the flesh, so we don't have to do the things that the world does. Oh, yeah, we got to live in the world. We have to do what, we have to go to Walmart. We have to go to different places like that. But listen, we need to realize that we don't have to do the things everybody else is doing. We don't have to do what everybody, we don't have to go to the bars, we don't have to go to the clubs, we don't have to do a lot of things that everybody else doesn't do. You know, the minute we get saved, what happens? We get the Holy Spirit inside us. He tells us what's right and what's wrong. We just need to listen to him. We need to realize that we are called to be holy by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to be just as holy as he is. You know, I don't know what it's like to be in the presence of an all-holy God, but Jesus does. Someday we will. Someday we will know what it means to be all-holy. Someday we'll know what it means to stand in front of an all-holy God. The fourth thing is this. We are called into suffering. We are called into suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, it says this. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If you don't have them underlined, I want you to underline them in your Bible, because those are verses you need. Now, but you may be saying, well, what do you mean that we're called into suffering? You know, doesn't everybody suffer? Yeah, everybody suffers. However, we are called into the suffering for the cause of Christ. You know, we're living in an area where I feel we're very lucky. I feel that where we're living right now, we are very lucky to be living in Arizona, because I feel that we have a sheriff here in Pinal County who is a godly man. I believe that we have a governor, though I don't agree with all of his practices and everything. I feel that he's doing the best job he possibly can. But if you look at Portland and Seattle and Los Angeles and Chicago and Philadelphia and other cities, You know, they're burning the Bibles. They're picketing the churches. You know, I told you in the opening about Brother Treber's church in Los Angeles, about how that they are have put notes on the door that he can't open. Now listen, there's 2,000 people that go to church there every Sunday morning. 2,000. They've got, I think, 20 or 30 buses that they go out with every Sunday morning. You know, they haven't run the buses since March. They just reopened the church about three Sundays or four Sundays ago. That's it. And now all of a sudden they get a cease and desist order on the door of the church that if they have church, they're going to be arrested. Listen, people. We're called to suffer. We're called to suffer. And believe me, we are going to see suffering. If, and I'm using this if, I'm not politicizing nothing here right now, but I am saying this, that if the wrong person gets into the White House, we are in a world of hurt. In fact, the future vice president, if she gets into the White House and Biden decides after he's been in there for a week he doesn't want the presidency and steps down, she will be the president. She has already said this. One of my first executive orders is I am going to order all guns to be seized in the United States. I will take by force everyone's weapons in the United States. I don't think she's going to get the bad guys' weapons, do you? Now, listen to me very carefully. One of the other things that she said is that she's going to make sure that religious organizations are no longer able to worship. That means the doors of this church would have to be shut. You know, what I'm telling you is this, is that we as Christians are going to have to be so careful who we vote into the presidency, Congress, Senate, and everything else this time around. We're going to have to be so careful because we could very easily lose our right to worship, even though it's in the Constitution, even though it's in the First Amendment of the Constitution. They will take that out. They will take out our Second Amendment, and they will just go through the whole Constitution and wipe out whatever they don't want in there. That's what they're going to do. You say, well, they got to have a vote on it. Well, you know what? Executive orders go a long ways. What we need to realize is that I don't trust government anymore. I don't. I do not trust our government. We need to realize that we are going to be persecuted. We are going to have to suffer. Now, you know, this is really nothing new. This is nothing new. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 41. It says, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. This next part of this verse is what I love. Listen to this very carefully. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Listen, early church, just starting out, Peter and John were taken in the council. They were beaten because they were preaching Jesus, death, burial, resurrection. Turn to him for your salvation. They beat him. They whipped him. And then they released him. I don't know about you, but if I was beaten, if I was whipped, I don't know if I could go through the door and go, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. I don't think I could. But they did. They rejoiced. They sang praises to be found worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. You know, what would we do? When Jesus was on the earth, you know, he told the disciples that they were going to suffer persecution. He told them they were going to take and have to suffer for him. You know, there's going to be a time coming, and it's going to be real soon, where we're going to end up having to suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm glad I'm 67 years old, or will be, because my life is behind me. They take my life now, all they're doing is promising me heaven. I really don't care. Amen? There was an old guy that was, riot was coming at him, and this guy says, either you recant Christ or I'm going to kill you. And this old guy, he was about 70 years old, and he looked him right in the eye, and he says, you can't threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. You know, there are many who will say that this can never happen. But I'll tell you what, in the last 6 months, we've seen huge changes. We've seen huge changes here in this country. We've seen huge changes in the ones now that do not love the Lord are coming out in the open. Just like the gays and everybody else did. The fifth thing is this. We are called to glory. We are called to glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, look at what Paul, or what Peter is saying here. The God of all grace. You know, this is talking about God the Father. God has called us into his eternal glory. Heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonderful place. Titus 3:7 says this, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know, when Paul was writing to Titus, he used similar wording as what Peter did, writing in his letter, that we are justified by grace. You know, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We need to realize that it's only by God's grace that we can be saved. You know, it's only through his grace that we can have eternal life. I believe that all of us know what God's eternal glory is, and that's heaven. But when is it going to happen? You know, I look across people here today, and we have an awful lot of people with gray hair. We have people that even try to get rid of their gray hair, but then again, but we need to realize is we're all getting older, aren't we? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 says this, but I would not to have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You ready for this? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Woo! I can hardly wait. I can see it now. All of a sudden, come up hither. Doo-doo-doo! Boom, we're gone. We're gone. That's it. Hey, I'll tell you what, that time's coming awful close. After all, what did Peter say? Peter says you need to suffer for a little while. And then the eternal glory is ahead of you. Wow. There's a lot of people going through a little suffering right now. You know, I look at the churches in California. I look at not only Brother Treber. I look at Brother Chapel's church. I look at Brother one in Windermere. I look at all the churches. All the churches in California are just really going through a lot of suffering right now. There was an article that I read the other day on one of the social medias I have. I have about four of them now that I watch. And this is what it said. It said that every day there's four churches in California that are closing their doors. Every day there's four churches in California that are closing their doors. Why is that? Why is that? Because they can no longer take the suffering of what's happening in the world. Now, I'm not talking about just independent Baptist churches. I'm talking about Catholics. I'm talking about Lutherans. I'm talking about Presbyterians. I'm talking about every non-denominational church in the world that are closing their doors for a day. Now, one of the bad things that happened in this is this. Do you remember when this, better late than never, lady. Anyway.
See, now everybody should have to work it.
Yeah. Pull up a chair and sit on the floor. One of the bad things about this whole thing is, do you remember when this thing all started? There was a stimulus package that was given for loans for small businesses. You remember that? I can't remember what it was called. It was called PAC or something like that. Anyway,
the
huh?
The CARES package.
The CARES package, that's what it was. Well, we could have got a loan through that. We could have got a loan through the CARES package for the church. And we could have gotten I could have borrowed $200,000-$300,000 if we wanted to. And we would have got the money. However, there's clauses in it. And one of the clauses is this. If you or your business closes within a certain period of time, I believe it's a year, you must pay that money back and 16% interest. What's happening is this. A lot of these churches that are closing their doors took out loans in that care package. Now, the government has put a lien on all of their assets. That means that there's not one thing those churches can do. Not one thing. Nothing. They can just shut the doors and walk away from it. And the government will come in and seize the property. You know, when this care package came out, I took a good hard look at it. I really did. I thought, man alive, you know, All you got to do is take out a loan, boom, government gives you money, boom, interest free, no problem. Until I got looking a little bit deeper into it. And there was a pastor that I know real well, and he was going to do it. And I said to him, I said, be careful. He says, why? I said, read the fine print. And he did. And then he went and got a lawyer, and the lawyer told him the same thing, be careful, because of the fine print. He called me the other day, and he says, Pastor Storm, you have no idea how glad I am that I listened to you and didn't take that money out. Because he says, I had to lay off some of my help. I had to lay off, you know, some of my teachers at school. Are the school, I don't know if we're going to run it this year. And so he says, we've had to take and back way off. And had I taken that loan and we laid off anybody within that first year, I would have had to pay back every cent of that plus interest. You know, sometimes free money ain't free. Right. Amen? And I am so glad that I had enough wisdom to take and make sure that everything was up front and everything that way. What we need to realize is this, is one day very soon, there's going to be a shout from heaven, trumpet sound, and we are going to be gone. But we need to realize that Jesus paid our penalty on the cross. He paid what we should have paid. And we're the ones that should have suffered and died. You know, each of us are called out of darkness. Each of us are called to follow in his steps. Each of us are called to be holy. Each of us are going to be called to suffer. Each of us are going to be called to his eternal glory. If you're here listening on the internet and you're not 100% sure where you would spend eternity, if that trumpet would sound and that voice would say, come up hither, if you're not 100% sure where you would spend the eternal glory, you need to today. You need to find out today how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you were to be absent from this body, you would be present with the Lord. You know, hey, maybe you're not following in his footsteps. Maybe you're not as holy as what you should be in your thoughts and your actions. Maybe you're not ready to suffer for Christ. Or maybe you don't know for sure if you're on your way to heaven. If you're any in that category at all, you need to get things right today. You need to get things right today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins. Father, we know that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through you. I just pray now, Lord, that you take and guide and direct in this invitation. I just pray that if there be one here today that does not know you, or there's something else that's going on in their life, that they would get it right with you today. Be with us now, I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure where I would spend eternally. If I were to die right now, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. If that's you, I'd like to have just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Anyone at all? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I have not been walking in the footsteps of the Savior. There's things I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. There's thoughts I'm having that I shouldn't have. Would you pray for me today? I just want to pray for you. Raise your hand quickly, quietly. Yes, I see hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, preacher, I wasn't ready to suffer for Christ, but I am today. Would you pray for me that I would have the strength to take and suffer for him? Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. If you're listening today and you fall into any of those categories, you need to pray just as these will hear today that God can give you the victory over what's going on in your life. Father, you know our hearts. I just pray for these that have raised their hand, Lord. We know that many times we think thoughts that we shouldn't think. We may look at things we shouldn't look at. Father, I just pray for these that they might be able to take and overcome that. And I pray for the ones who, up till today, they weren't ready to suffer for you, but they're ready to suffer now. I just pray that you give them the guidance, give them the know-how to get through what they're going to have coming in their lives. Father, I just thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for what you've done for us. I just pray now for the rest of this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's all stand, turn to hymnal number 154. If you want to come to the altar this morning and pray, the altar's open.